Good morning. It's Monday, January 12th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Coming up, finding art in the world of aviation.
The skill that it would take to get this perfectly smooth propeller blows my mind.
That's after the news. Incoming Wichita school board members elected in November will be sworn in today at the first board meeting of the year. Amy Warren and Amy Jensen will be the newest members to join the school board. They ousted outgoing members Hazel Stabler and Kathy Bond. Incumbents Diane Albert and Julie Hedrick will also be sworn in for another term. Board members will also select a new board president and vice president. The Wichita School Board meets once a month, usually on the first Monday. People can view the meetings on the school district's YouTube channel. Joseph Shepard will be sworn in tonight as the newest member of the Wichita City Council. Voters elected Shepard in November to fill the District 1 seat of outgoing council member Brandon Johnson. Johnson did not seek re-election because of council term limits. Shepard will be joined by returning District 3 council member Mike Hoheisel and District 6 council member Maggie Ballard in taking the oath of office. Ballard and Hoheisel each secured 60% of the vote to win their re-election. The swearing-in ceremony will be held at 5:30 in the City Council chambers. Several Wichita City Council members say they want groceries left out of a 1% citywide sales tax if it's passed by voters. Joshua Swati is the city's lobbyist to the state legislature. He says that will not happen before residents vote on the proposal March 3rd.
It will not be ready and have gone through the process at all by the time of the city vote. But it will at least have the opportunity to demonstrate that you as council members are trying to work through the process of that fix.
Swati told the council that getting the legislature to grant Wichita a tax exemption on grocery sales will be difficult. That's even with several local state representatives promising to work on the issue this session. Kansas ended state sales tax on groceries last year, but those sales are still subject to any local taxes. An independent audit confirmed the graduation rate at Wichita Public Schools is accurate, but as KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports, the audit suggested some changes for how schools keep student records.
The audit report confirms the district's graduation rate is a record high 85.1%. The audit came after some teachers and community members complained that some students might be graduating without meeting the requirements. The third-party investigation found no cases of students in the district doing so, but found some irregularities and how schools keep records. The district says it will make several changes based on recommendations in the audit. That includes more employee training and oversight of student records, as well as standardizing and streamlining policies around graduation. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The Wichita School Board will hold a public hearing today on the proposed closure of Chester Lewis Academic Learning Center. School board members recommended closing Chester Lewis last month after learning of unsafe conditions in the 75-year-old building. The center in northeast Wichita houses the district's alternative high school. Students who are affected by the closure are attending class at the former Cleveland Elementary School. Members of the public can sign up to speak at the hearing by contacting the board clerk's office or registering just prior to the meeting. Republican leaders of the Kansas legislature have hired former Emporia State University president Ken Hush to suggest spending cuts to the state's universities. They say the state needs to slash $200 million from the budget to adjust for recent tax cuts. Hush will earn up to $50,000 for 5 months of work. Democratic lawmakers called the hiring a waste of taxpayer money. Republican Representative Blake Carpenter says a former university leader will have a better understanding of wasteful spending in higher education.
They know how they operate, and they can give specific details as to where and how we can be more efficient with these higher education systems.
Hush recently retired from Emporia State after 3 years in charge. During that time, he fired 30 tenured or tenure-track professors to cut costs. 11 of them are suing Hush in federal court. The latest household food security report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows a slight uptick in the nation's food insecurity rate. Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports the survey could be the last after the department said it will stop collecting the hunger data.
The report shows that 13.7% of U.S. households struggled to get enough food in 2024, which is slightly higher than the year before. Texas and Oklahoma are among the states with the highest food insecurity rates. The USDA says it will end the annual survey after this report, calling it, quote, redundant, costly, and politicized. Neela Pradhananga, nutrition specialist at Oklahoma State University, says the report is the gold standard for data.
So I think having this would be the best option, but I don't really see any other that would be comparable to this that gives us like a national reference.
Pradhananga says factors like the economy and food accessibility impact food insecurity. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice is once again connected to troubles off the field, Greg Eklund reports.
Rashee Rice, who served a six-game NFL suspension to begin last season because of troubles as the result of a car crash in Dallas, is being accused of domestic abuse by an ex-girlfriend. In his first game back after last season's suspension, Rice said at the time he had learned the price of off-the-field problems.
You don't really notice how much you love someone until it's gone or possibly could be gone. I was able to get a glimpse of that, and you know, I don't ever want to feel that again.
Now the Chiefs say in a statement that they and the NFL are aware of allegations that were made in a social media post by a former girlfriend. She alleges she dealt with what she characterizes as abuse from Rice for years. Neither the Chiefs nor the NFL provided any further details on their possible response. I'm Greg Eklund.
We'll be back after this.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. The Kansas Aviation Museum houses a bevy of planes and other flight memorabilia, but it also features murals and other works of art. KMUW's Torrin Anderson caught up with Logan Doherty, the museum's curator and director of collections, to find out more about what's considered art in the world of aviation.
Logan Doherty is a musician outside of work. He sees art on the building, in the building, and outside the building.
Obviously, that's a tricky word to define, but I would say planes are art. In the old-timey definition, they would call anything you make art.
Because of the weather, we will stay inside with his dog joining the tour.
My dog's name is Jeff.
Come on.
Yeah, there's some cool ones outside. Really foggy today.
After walking upstairs, we see a bright painting on the wall.
We do have paintings scattered around, which these are definitely art.
Doherty leads me down the hall to point out a long mural.
So these are murals that hung in this building when it was an airport. So if you didn't know, this building was Wichita Municipal Airport from 35 to 54. They were actually painted for the main post office in downtown Wichita, but they didn't like them at the post office because these are a art style called regionalism that was kind of part of the culture war in the 1930s.
Doherty points to the famous painting featuring abolitionist John Brown holding a rifle in one hand and a Bible in his other hand.
So this is Tragic Prelude by John Stuart Curry. It hangs in the Capitol building in Topeka. And that painting actually had a curtain in front of it for years because it was considered controversial. People didn't like the chaotic view of Kansas that it was putting forward.
Besides the coarse nature of its Dada and surrealist style, Kansans were opposed to this style of painting because they thought it was socialist. Local history is found throughout the painting, including the old hangar from the municipal airport.
And I think they painted that just because it was a cool local building, and then it ended up hanging next to the hangar.
After the building was an airport, it was used as office space for the Air Force. Some forgotten details were rediscovered once they started restoring for museum purposes.
And when they did that, they uncovered these designs that they know from historic photos were all over the ceiling. So they used these to create stencils to repaint them on the ceiling. If you're walking up those stairs, and that would have been how people came into this airport if they flew here, they would land out there on the ramp and walk up. Then the ceiling is very obvious from that view.
We walk a little further down the hall and see a propeller display.
Do people believe that to be art?
I see these and I definitely think art. I like woodworking and the skill that it would take to get this
perfectly smooth propeller blows my mind. And also the fact that it has to be so balanced. When something is spinning so fast, the balance is off a little bit, it will shake it terribly. So the idea of getting an organic material like wood to be perfectly balanced and perfectly round sounds crazy to me. I think these are definitely art.
I'm Torin Anderson.
There's more of Torin's interview with Logan Doherty at KMUW.org. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Around this time last year, KMUW News Director Tom Schein told us he was planning to retire at the end of 2025. Well, apparently he was serious. So we should probably honor him. Join us for an open house to celebrate Tom on Friday, January 16th. It's 5 to 8 p.m. at KMUW. An RSVP is not required, but if you'd like to let us know you're coming, we'll make sure there's enough food and drink to go around. Sign up at KMUW.org. Hope to see you there.